A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll return to the theme of women in music, taking a look at plans by the Dallas Symphony Orchestra to hold a symposium on women in music next month. My guests will be DSO President and CEO Kim Notelny, DSO Principal Guest Conductor Gemma New, Principal Harpist of the Symphony Emily Levine, and composer Selena Fisher, whose piece Rain Phase will be performed by the orchestra as part of the symposium. As always, let's start off today's program with a look at some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The Curtis Institute of Music and Drexel University's Westfall College of Media Arts and Design are partnering to create Listen Philadelphia, a program to explore new directions in musical performance. More than 120 musicians will be brought together as the newly created Curtis Intercultural Ensemble, led by composer and conductor Peter Wiegold, who will serve as artistic director, and Curtis professor and chair of career studies Mary Javian. Between October 2020 and May 2021, students will explore new combinations of instrumentation, non-traditional orchestral scoring, and improvisation. The initiative is funded through grants totaling $700,000 from the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. Other grants announced by the Pew Center will fund an opera by composer Missy Mazzoli and librettist Royce Vavrek, co-produced by Opera Philadelphia and Norwegian National Opera that will explore community, ritual, and belief, and a performance of Beethoven's Missa Solemnis by the Philadelphia Orchestra that will be presented through a virtual multi-denominational cathedral in which the audience will experience the performance. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. As orchestras seek to address issues of gender equality in the classical music world, they've taken various approaches, such as introducing more works composed by women and bringing in more women as music directors or other conducting positions. At the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, President and CEO Kim Notelny is taking a multi-pronged approach, and the latest in the orchestra's Women in Classical Music initiative is set to launch next month, a four-day symposium beginning November 6 that will examine topics relevant to women in the industry and provide networking opportunities and performances. Notelny, who took over as president and CEO in January 2018, last year named Gemma New as the orchestra's first female principal guest conductor, and New will conduct her debut performance in that role November 8th, a program that includes a work by composer Selena Fisher, like Gemma, a New Zealand native. I spoke with Notelny recently about the symposium and some of her larger goals set out by the Women's Initiative, as well as other community programs that are broadening the symphony's reach.
Well, it's interesting because when I came to Dallas, I didn't realize there was a long DNA of women leadership in the arts and also the Dallas Symphony. And as I got to know the organization, I realized that we could really build on that. And the way that we could do that is to sort of take it to the next steps and the next step in terms of composer, not music director, perhaps, because that was already happening well into that before I got in Dallas. But, you know, the idea that we could have a principal guest conductor and give a titled position to a woman, and then to create a symposium so we could all talk about the various aspects of moving women forward in classical music. And, of course, we all know that it was definitely a paternalistic business for hundreds of years, right? And that now, in sort of the modern times, it's our job to kind of work on seeing what we can do to make it more balanced in terms of gender. So with the long history of this city having women leaders of boards and organizations in general, and this orchestra being made up of 40% women, I thought that this was an area that we could do in an authentic way.
And the symposium itself is part of your broader women's initiative. What are some of the aspects that you hope the symposium will be able to fulfill?
Well, we had a committee to talk about the symposium, and we had a couple different things that we all discussed that were important to us. And one of them was to recognize someone who's made great strides, a woman who's made great strides in the industry. And that in and of itself was one important thing. But tied with that is moving it to the next generation. So asking the person who we were giving the award to name a mentee of theirs or someone else that they recognized as an up-and-coming person in the business who they could give the cash part of the award to help that person, you know, invest in some of the things that she would need to move forward in the field. I mean, so a lot of people don't understand the classical music business and the high cost of all of the things that one needs, from coaching to purchasing music to workshops and master classes and all the things, travel, even clothing, which matters in some cases depending on what your role is. So that's what we wanted to do, to make it not only recognizing a great woman in our industry, but whoever she thought, in this case, Dawn Upshaw, feels is someone that she wants to recognize.
And what in particular made you feel that Dawn Upshaw was the best person to embody the first recipient of the award?
Well, Dawn has a storied career in our industry and also in opera. She's been on the cutting edge of performing new works, which is taking a significant risk because it may be easier just to focus on getting the, you know, the prime gigs at the big orchestras or at the big opera houses. But instead, she invested a lot of her time and energy into championing new composers. And so I feel like that speaks a lot about her care for our business. In addition to that, she has done a lot of work training the next generation. And she was at Bard most recently, but before that, she was, for decades, she's been at Tanglewood, the Tanglewood Music Center, you know, working with the musicians, the singers, pianists who are about to launch into their professional career. They have all the credentials and they just need the experience and the connections. So those are just two examples of some of the things that she's done, in addition to just achieving a lot as a woman in the business.
And once the symposium has wrapped up for this year, what are some things that you feel people will be able to take away and carry on beyond the symposium?
Well, I think that we put together a lot of topics that are of interest, you know, pathways for change, thinking about how we all can do our part to make a difference in the future of the business and help talented women move to the next level. If we all commit to that, it would make a huge difference. So that's, you know, one piece of it. You know, thinking about the role of men and how we all work together and how we can make this not be a negative but a positive. And I think that we're focused on the positive side of things, just factually noting what has happened in the past and where we'd all like to see it go in the future. And so we have a nice group of speakers who will be, you know, really bringing different perspectives. And I think that that is part of change and learning, is hearing the various perspectives. So we're pretty excited about that. And I think that each of us at the conference who are moderating or who are panelists will learn a lot from each other and that's also important for moving the whole industry forward. I'm just looking forward to being together with a lot of people who just want to learn more and are excited about the idea of, you know, doing things a little bit differently and growing as an industry. We all know that many talented women are coming out of the conservatories and the music schools across the country, and we just want to help them get their fair share and their chance to live up to their full potential from a music perspective.
That was Kim Noltelmy, President and CEO of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. For additional insight into the symposium, I brought together Gemma New, the orchestra's principal guest conductor, composer Selena Fisher, and Emily Levine, the orchestra's principal harpist, for a conversation about their own experiences and how they feel the symposium can move the classical music industry forward. We'll hear from Levine first.
I think that the idea of women in classical music and how you better promote equality and opportunities for women is such a vast concept, and there is no right answer. There's no easy answer. And so this symposium, by bringing together people of all genders and so many different backgrounds and perspectives, and just giving them this concentrated few days where they can really discuss the problems and propose solutions and really listen to each other, I think that environment for discussion is really important.
And Gemma?
Yes, I completely agree with what Emily's saying, and I just think a symposium is a wonderful opportunity for people to share their own personal experiences and ideas, which will definitely resonate with others in the room, and hopefully we'll be able to bring back to our own organizations new ideas of how we can continue to build these work practices.
And Selena, your thoughts on that?
I'm really, really excited about this symposium. I'm particularly excited by what I've heard from Dallas Symphony about trying to get composers and conductors, for example, to build networks. And I think I've been really encouraged, particularly in recent years, by fellow women in the industry trying to really support each other. And looking forward to sharing these kinds of discussions with other artists.
Well, I wanted to get give each of you a chance to talk about some of the things you've come across in terms of the gender question. And I know everyone has different experiences, and you know, certainly that's one aspect that's part of this conversation. And so I was just wondering what you've seen in your own past experience and how that's impacted, or to what extent that's impacted how you've worked your career.
I'm in a bit of a unique position because the harp is such a stereotypically feminine instrument, which I think has to do with the fact that for a very long time, it was one of the few instruments that was appropriate for ladies, despite many great male harpists. So at least growing up within my own field, the role of gender wasn't really talked about, except for in relation to like the fact that for a very long time, it would only the only female member of an orchestra would be the harpist. And if you go back to old Vienna Philharmonic video recordings, they had a woman harpist, but she wasn't technically a member. And so they would never show her face. They'd only show the hand. But then more as I've came into professional music for a career, just noticing the number of women principals that there are in an orchestra and how disproportionate it is. I wrote an article on this for the DSO, but I think out of like the top highest paid orchestras in the U.S. at least, the maximum number of female principals in any orchestra is 5, you know, which is roughly 1/3. And just also seeing, I think it tends to be a pretty male-dominated discussion on things. Like the male voice gets to be heard quite often in these musical organizations. And I think that's probably true of almost any type of career. But it's been interesting to see when Kim came on as our female CEO, how dialogue of supporting women and making sure that they have an equal voice has shifted. And that's been cool to see.
And Gemma, you've been, as you've been moving ahead in your career, you've been moving on to some a number of orchestras, different opportunities that are opened up. How have you seen your progression as a conductor in a world where we are so focused on, or so many people are focused on watching and trying to encourage more women conductors to be on the podium?
Yes. I mean, look, I really love to hear everyone's point of view on this, because I think it's a very general topic. It's not easy to say that there, as Emily said, there's one answer to this. And it's really about personal interactions and getting to know people more than stereotypes and just looking at personalities and how we can work together in the best way possible. So for me, when I was growing up as a conductor, often I would be there wouldn't be a lot of women in say, a master class. Maybe I'd be the only one. And I'd feel more comfortable when I was very much treated the same as everyone else. And what I would love is for everyone to feel welcome to, especially in an orchestral sense and as a conductor as well, for us to all be able to express ourselves most genuinely and naturally as who we are. And so this idea of having to worry about putting us in boxes or kind of in teams against each other is not such a good idea, maybe. And it's just that idea of listening to each other and being very open-minded as we get to work together. And then in terms of professional experience, I think many of the orchestras that I've worked with have been completely focused on the task. And so this is fantastic that we can work with mutual respect and towards this common goal of a really fantastic performance at the end of the week without having to worry about these maybe subtle undercurrents, which I do acknowledge are there. But in terms of focus, it's very much on the music.
No, and certainly it is. You know, there are so many points of view and different ways of, you know, all our experiences kind of play into that. And so, Selena, within your cohort of fellow composers, what are some of the ways that these issues are brought up, discussed, and become kind of things that you think about as you're creating your career?
I think these are discussions, at least in my circles, that are being had all the time. But I know that's not always the case in all organizations, and I'm excited about the symposium and how it's going to increase awareness around these kinds of issues. Something I've been involved in recently is a contemporary ensemble here in Wellington called Stroma that's doing some really wonderful work in terms of sort of publicly committing to more inclusive programming, not just being conscious of it, but really, committing to a future of 50% music by women composers, for example. And that's something I've been seeing also at a festival I was involved in at the ISM World Music Days in Vancouver a couple of years ago. So it's really encouraging as a woman composer when people in leadership positions in these organizations really take that on as a factor in their programming.
As the symposium gets closer, what are some of the ways that you see the symposium really making a difference and creating a good foundation for these questions to be examined and ideas and solutions to be considered?
I think it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning, like what are the aims of the symposium? I mean, this is going to give an opportunity for professional relationships to be built, for solidarity. When people hear common experiences, they're going to realize that they're not alone and that they can then discuss, you know, those particular ideas that they found very common with someone else and then perhaps strategize ways to help that challenge, to fix that problem, and to really encourage an openness and a welcoming of everyone. And I think that really, as a conductor and with many orchestras and staff especially, we are looking at how to build our audiences, and we do want everyone in our communities to feel welcome. And I was just on Saturday asked questions like, well, why did you stand that person after the piece? And it shows me that these people are coming for the first time, and we need to strategize ways to make them feel as comfortable as possible.
I think one of the things that I really appreciate about what the DSO is doing with the symposium and with other programs that we've implemented is that it's not trying to propose an easy fix to a problem that is so deeply rooted and goes back, you know, thousands of years. There is no easy fix. And so the symposium, I think, is trying to build a foundation from which you can discuss different ways that you could possibly fix it. And I think by having this like open-ended discussion, it implies that, you know, there is not going to be, you're not going to fix this problem overnight. You're not going to propose the perfect amount of change overnight, but you're starting to build a discussion and to bring these groups of people together who will hopefully go away from this, you know, still in contact and still bouncing ideas off each other. And if you bring all of these like-minded people together and then send them away into different parts of the world, that's how you're eventually going to enact change in whatever way you want that to be.
I want to echo what Emily and Gemma are saying, particularly about making a community that really welcomes different voices, different perspectives. And I think that kind of inclusion really benefits all of us and the music itself. And so I think any space for this kind of discussion is really important. And to continue, yeah, talking about how we can make it a more welcoming space.
Now, you're each participating as either a moderator or a panelist. What do you hope to bring to the panel discussions that you'll be participating and the event in general?
So I'm moderating the panel, Self-Entrepreneurship for Musicians, and I just recently became artistic director of a chamber music series in Dallas. And one of the reasons I'm excited to moderate is because I think I have more questions than answers at this point. And so I'm excited to foster a discussion between people with all of these different perspectives and just sort of hear what other ideas people have. And hopefully the questions that I have will be questions that other people have been asking, and it'll just be a good experience to talk about the role of musician entrepreneurship and what that looks like to these different leaders in the field.
Selena?
Well, I'm actually just really looking forward to hearing other people's perspectives and really learning. Hopefully I can contribute my experiences, particularly from my experiences in New Zealand, but also as a woman composer, and I'm really looking forward to, yeah, connecting and learning with other people.
I'll be on a panel where the topic is leveling the playing field. I agree with Selena. I'm looking forward to hearing other people's perspectives, and also I'm sure there'll be questions that I'll be asked that I'm very happy to share a personal experience. Hopefully that would be useful to someone. But yeah, it's a topic that does need discussion, and perhaps there'll be some insights that come out of that discussion that maybe we haven't thought of before, and that will help us to find new ways of leveling this playing field, because it's quite hard to quantify how to make an equal opportunity for all. Often it starts from a very young age, music, how to learn an instrument, and how do we make sure that our young people are all getting an equal opportunity to pursue a classical career, to appreciate classical music. Maybe that's a topic that I'm quite passionate about, and I'd like to see if we can discuss that further at the symposium.
One of the works on the program is Selena's Rain Phase, and I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about that piece in particular, and you know, if there's any specific or any particular special significance you feel that this is being performed on the program that's tied to the symposium.
I'll talk a little bit about the piece. It was written originally in 2015 for the NZSO National Youth Orchestra, which is held in Wellington, where I lived for 7 years. At the time, I'd spent a lot of time in orchestras and in the National Youth Orchestra as well, and I'd been hearing this orchestra around me for so many years, and I was very excited about trying to explore some of the sounds that I hadn't heard around me and explored. And I was also interested in responding to the environment. Wellington's also Gemma's hometown, and she can also tell you about how wild the weather can be here. And so this was really kind of my response, exploring some of the sounds in the orchestra to do with rain and water movement, especially specifically in Wellington. I think in terms of relating to the symposium, it's interesting because the opportunity was NZSO National Youth Orchestra Composer in Residence, which they have every year. And about 10 years before I had written this piece, I had heard another woman, young woman composer, when I was about 12, who had written for the National Youth Orchestra. And sort of since then, it had been my dream to do what she did and write a piece for the National Youth Orchestra and being able to achieve that goal, you know, 10 years after I'd seen her piece was really meaningful to me. And sort of since then, I've been really lucky with Gemma taking this piece on with a number of orchestras. So I'm really excited for the Dallas performance.
A great example of the importance of role models. Gemma?
Selena and I were in the same violin studio for a time, and I've always been impressed by her amazing abilities on the violin and piano and now composition, and she's a superb musician. So I was already a big fan, and then hearing this piece, it kind of makes me very homesick because it's about my hometown, Wellington. It's the windiest city in the world. It has many tall hills, which most people would call mountains, I guess, very steep roads. So the wind can whip around there very easily, lots of trees and forests everywhere in Wellington. So you can hear the whooshing of the wind through the leaves. And then there's a big harbour where the wild sea is. So there's lots of opportunity to hear different kinds of rain and the wind with that, and even droplets on the top of a building. Selena has it all in this piece. She creates a very unique orchestral sound, which I absolutely love because it's a unique voice and the audience thinks, wow, how did the orchestra sound like that? I've never heard that before. And then what I also love to top it off is that it's a beautiful work. It's so stunningly beautiful that you're really touched by, you know, just the evocative colors and kind of rhythms that come out, and just the percussion instruments she used. I hope we'll have a very good view of them, as you'll be dazzled just by the visual impact of some of the, like the water phone, for example. So I love the piece, and I love taking it to new orchestras, and we can create the sound world together.
Thank you so much, Jim.
I think if we eventually get to a point where women in positions of authority or women in a prominent sort of spotlight, where that becomes the norm instead of the exception, that will be one of the most effective ways of actually making change. Because I think it's still this idea of promoting women in classical music can easily become a bit of a novelty or a bit of a, you know, kind of check off what you think you've done and then move on from that. But if you're able to create an environment where both men and women are speaking, you know, with passion and with authority, and that dialogue is just standard, I think that's how you end up getting true equality. So I'm hopeful that the symposium is one of those early steps of fostering this kind of dialogue.
That was my conversation with Gemma New, principal guest conductor of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, composer Selena Fisher, and Emily Levine, the orchestra's principal harpist. The Women in Classical Music Symposium will be held November 6th through 9th in Dallas. More information is available at mydso.com. Where else are you able to hear full-length conversations like the ones I bring you on A Tempo every single week that focus on the changing dynamics and challenges of the arts world? Well, if you enjoy them, remember that they're only possible because of your support of this station. Become a member today of the Classical Network. Go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.